All right, I want to do something before we start today. I want to read for you a couple passages of Scripture and then do something special today. Paul writes in Romans, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Today is the day across our nation when churches bow and just take a moment to pray for the persecuted church. It's the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. 360 million Christians live in places today of high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. 360 million Christians. One in seven Christians worldwide live under persecution. Last year, 2022, 5,600 Christians lost their lives for Christ. 2,100 churches were attacked, and 4,500 Christians were imprisoned because of Jesus. And so on a day when we remember our friends in persecution, and I encourage you to go to either persecution.org or persecution.com. Either one of those will take you to websites that will help you understand and get your arms around the horrible reality of persecution of Christians in the world today. But consistently, when they are asked how can we, the U.S., the West, how can we support them in persecution, their answer always, number one, is pray for us. Pray for us. Paul writes in Ephesians, he says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Paul asked for us to pray for him in persecution. So the least thing we can do is pray for our friends. So let's bow our heads. God, it is so hard for us in our nation. We are so many freedoms. We can worship freely, practice our faith freely, speak freely, vote freely, move about freely. Lord, we are not compelled or kept from doing so many things, and yet, right here in our own world today, there are nations where our brothers and sisters are being brutally persecuted. Some separated from families, some losing jobs, some losing their freedom and being put in jail, and some losing their lives. I'm not sure we can truly imagine, but we know it's true. So, Father, today we pray for our friends. We pray that you provide them the resources to exercise their faith well. You provide them safety as they gather on days like this, either privately or secretly, or sometimes even out in the open, Lord. We pray for their safety. We pray for our nation, that we will do even more to help nations, to encourage, to prod nations, to allow their people to worship freely without punishment. And we pray, Lord, that their light will continue to shine brightly in these very, very dark places. Lord, it is amazing to me that your church grows in the midst of persecution. And then we pray today that more people will come to know faith from these ambassadors in chains. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for praying with me today, and I would ask you to continue praying for our friends. And again, get on one of those websites and learn how else you can be more knowledgeable, and even other things that you can do to help the persecuted church in the world today. You know, for us here at Fairmount, now since last spring, I think we've been on a very exciting trajectory. Perhaps a little bit under the radar, but coming out of the pandemic, our church's leadership has been intent on righting the ship and getting us back to full speed ahead. Back in June, the staff and the elders sat down for a time of prayer and reflection, which culminated in a rededication to our mission, a restatement of our vision, and a recommitment to our priorities, our values as a church. And the elders asked the preaching team to go over these responsibilities this fall from the pulpit for the entire congregation. And I hope this past September and October have been a good opportunity for you to get reconnected to the heart of our church. Now, as I said last week, as I've said each week that we've had, that we've been in the midst of this discussion, these aren't just Fairmount things. These are all of us things. This is a me thing. This is a you thing. You can be guaranteed that if the church has a mission, that's your mission. If the church has a vision, that's your vision. If the church has priorities, you have priorities. And so it is a corporate thing. It's all of us, but it's also a personal thing. It's me. And it's you. And that's why if you're visiting with us today, or if you've been visiting with us the past couple of weeks from another church, or you don't even have a church, these things are still important for you. And so we want all of us to share in these things together. We're going to move next week to another sermon series, focusing on the passages from the Bible that talk about one another. And so as a large church like ours, we want to enjoy the closeness and unity that Jesus had in mind for the church. So we're going to look at those one another passages and how we can encourage one another each and every day. Then we're going to be in the middle of Scrooge, right? Come December, you already see the set is up. Hope you're already thinking of friends you can invite to come see a really fun, great musical, totally free. I was talking this week with somebody who said, you know, there's just nothing free in the world. I said, well, I got something for you. And so I invite your friends to come with you, and then invite them to come with you on Sundays. We're going to take Dickens' classic, and we're going to talk about the heart of what Dickens writes about in Scrooge in A Christmas Carol, which is also the very heart of the gospel, and that's redemption. That's redemption. Redemption can change the hardest of hearts. And we have friends and neighbors who need to hear that message. So we're going to talk about that. As we talk about Jesus coming into the world, we're going to talk about the redemption that he brings. All right, but let's review one more time this fall. Our mission, directly from the words of Jesus, Jesus tells us what our mission is. This mission has not changed for 2,000 years. Church is worded differently, but it's the same mission that comes from the Great Commission and the Great Commandment that Jesus teaches us. And our mission here at Fairmount, the way we word it, is six words: love God, love people, make disciples. There it is, right there. And so, echoing off of Bill's words a little while ago, they're on the screen. Let's all say them together. Okay, let's say them together. Love God, love people, make disciples. Good, good. Our vision, how we as this church, this particular church, accomplishes that mission. We accomplish that mission by offering real hope for real people. All right, let's say that one together. Real hope for real people. Good. What the world needs now is hope. Desperately need hope. And we have it. We have it, George. We have it. And we need to be giving it away to the world around us. So then that leads to our priorities. What are the values? What governs what we do as a church? What governs how we live our lives on a daily basis? Number one is we submit to Scripture. Everything goes back to God's Word. We do Bible things in Bible ways. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. It is authoritative for the church. It is authoritative for our lives. Second, we're going to live like Jesus. We're going to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? And then we're going to live, we're going to love, we're going to act, we're going to think like Jesus. We're going to worship in community. All right? Our greatest expression of loving God is worship. And so we're going to have a daily posture of worship. We're going to worship every day. But then we're going to come together like we love to do on Sunday mornings, and we're going to worship together in community with each other. And then, like we said last week, we're going to engage every generation. Our community around us is multi-generational. So is our church. Now, we take it one step further, and that is we strive to be intergenerational. In other words, serving and ministering together across generational lines. We're too divided by generations in the world today. We want to overcome that by engaging every generation. You can see how these priorities build on each other. Begins with the Word, goes out to Jesus into our hearts and our lives, goes out to our church family, all of us together worshiping, and then out to the community around us, the multi-generational community around us. And then number five. Today, we're going to impact our world. Our priority is to impact our world. We start with the Word, and we go to the world. Fairmount is a church that takes seriously our global responsibility. Now, we see this, you know, sometimes we forget that Jesus bodily is in the gospel. He's also at the very beginning of the book of Acts. And we see this global responsibility being put on our shoulders by Jesus here in Acts chapter 1. In Acts, Jesus says to the disciples, he says to us, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So this passage right here, this passage gives our church our mission structure, our missions ministry, what we call impact ministry here at Fairmount. This gives our mission ministry its structure. Every portion of our outreach falls into one of those concentric circles that Jesus articulates from Jerusalem out to Judea, out further to Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. And so this morning, I'm going to just take a couple minutes. And, we send out a newsletter every other week. And a quarterly, that newsletter, it's our impact edition. And it literally lists every single one of our missions ministries and gives you the opportunity to pray for them, to know them by name, to connect with them, however you choose to do so. And it's really, I hope, if you're not getting the newsletter, I hope you'll let us know that. You can fill out one of those cards in front of you and give it to me or put it in one of the offering boxes. You can get it online. If you're getting it online, I hope you open it. Barry can look up and see how many people open it and how many don't. So we know whether folks are opening it or not. And so if you get it, open it and read it. And then if you get it in the mail, even if it's 2 months later, we get it. We still want you to read that newsletter when it comes your way. But maybe you've never been exposed to the ministries that our church supports. It begins in Jerusalem, which for us is Mechanicsville and all the places you drive from. So if you're here from Richmond or Chesterfield or King William or Goochland or Hanover, Henrico, wherever you are from, that's our Jerusalem. And we are active right here in our backyard. We're active in providing funds and providing people for these ministries. The Fix Ministry, which was here last night for their fundraising gala right over here in our Family Life Center. We're active with Young Lives. We're active with the local backpack feeding program. Kids go home on the weekends from the schools nearest us with a backpack full of food. Habitat for Humanity, Pregnancy Resource Center, Pamunkey Regional Jail Ministry, Impact Days, where we gather up here on a Saturday and go out and help people at their homes. The HELP Ministry, H-E-L-P, Health Equipment Lending Program. And so folks can borrow wheelchairs or walkers because of, how expensive everything is these days. Moments of Hope, Caring Hearts and Hands, Let's Go Services, MSEF. Today, MANA, Sunday, we support MoHope and MSEF through our MANA. To me, the funnest name, Ramp Up for Jesus. I want a shirt that says Ramp Up for Jesus. That's our ministry that goes out and builds ramps for folks who can't get in and out of their house easily. And they love to do it. They do a great job of that ministry. It's amazing to me, all of the things right here in our own backyard that we're able to do through missions. Judea is the state of Virginia, and although these ministries may expand farther than Virginia, they are located here in Virginia. Waypoint Church Partners, Virginia Vision, Local Christian Church, our church plant up in Ashland, Mountain Mission School over in Grundy, Camp Rudolph, College Ministries of Virginia, and then, of course, Oak Hill Christian Camp right down the road. There's Josh right over there. Josh is our College Ministry of Virginia. Raise your hand, Josh. There you go. All right. Yeah. He's our College Ministry of Virginia man. And it is our privilege, it is our honor to support them in the ministry they're doing on college campuses across Virginia. Samaria is our nation, is our country. And again, although these ministries do things globally, they're stationed here in the United States. Good News Productions, Heart Ministries, International Justice Mission, IDES, I-D-E-S, International Disaster Emergency Services, ICOM. ICOM has been is a conference on missions, has been right here in Richmond twice. A big group is going from Fairmount later on in November to Oklahoma City. Central Christian College of the Bible, Emmanuel Christian Seminary, Lincoln Christian University, Milligan University, Operation Christmas Child, which just wrapped up for us, and Pioneer Bible Translators. This is our Samaria. And then finally, there's the ends of the earth. And that's obviously what? The ends of the earth. That's everywhere else. Haiti, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Mexico, Poland, Venezuela, and New Zealand. Sadly, right now, at least half of those we're not even allowed to go visit because of persecution, because of violence in our State Department, and their missionaries say, don't come right now. And so about half of those we're not allowed to even go. When our team was visiting New Zealand last month, we were again reminded that little remote island is the farthest country from Israel. And so they take, I don't know if the word is pride, but the church workers there take, I'll say pride, they take pride that Jesus says to the ends of the earth. When he says that, he was talking about New Zealand. And so they love that. Jesus was talking about us. And they always take a lot of excitement in that. They're right. The ends of the earth. So when I looked at my notes, when I looked at all these things that I cut and pasted from the forecaster, I thought to myself, wow, what an impact God is having around the world through this little church here on Creighton Road. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We take our global responsibility seriously. We support missionaries and church planters on every inhabitable continent on the planet. And as I always say, if they decide to inhabit Antarctica, we'll send somebody there. We pray for the persecuted church. We send mission teams into the city, throughout the state, across the country, and around the world. I didn't even tell you, this February, you've already read this, but we're going to host Night to Shine. We've been going down to Altria or other churches. We're going to host it right here at Fairmount in February, Night to Shine. We're providing humanitarian relief for Israel and for Ukraine. We'll have a capital campaign in December to help reduce the debt on our building. We tithe 10% of that campaign to missions every year, every year. We take our global responsibility seriously. The key is going where the Lord directs. We have the privilege of using our people and our resources to reach out all over this world. Throughout my ministry, I've been in ministry 37 years, and I've encountered two different types of people on the missions continuum. I have folks who will say to me, and they've said to me throughout my ministry, why do we support ministries outside of this country when there's so many needs right here in our own backyard? Well, that's fair. They're right. There are a lot of needs right here in our own backyard. Then they're on the other side, just as many people will say to me, why do we put so much emphasis on domestic work when there are millions of unreached people in the world today? Well, they're right. Fair enough. The answer, of course, is we have the people and the resources to do both. And this is why we impact our world. Our world is a food pantry in Mechanicsville. Our world is a orphanage in Appalachia. Our world is a refugee housing development in Poland. Our world is an eye clinic in India. Our world is a brand new church in the wilderness of Kenya. And obviously much, much more. We're always asking, where's the Lord directing? What doors is he opening? What doors is he shutting? I'm reminded of the way that the New Testament documents this as the church was expanding and growing in the book of Acts. Luke writes about this doors opening and doors shutting. He writes about this in chapter 6. We always think that the doors are always open, right? Nope, not always. Luke wrote, he said, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, we have no idea why they were kept out of some areas while other areas were open wide. We don't know why, but God knows why. And God did what he does by directing his people to work exactly where he wanted them to work, exactly when he wanted them to work there, to see the expansion of the gospel around the globe. And we do the same today. When ICOM was here several years ago, doors opened up for us to partner with Michael and Rosalind Trustee as they were planting a church in Tauranga, New Zealand. doors just opened for us in the last month for a brand new ministry that I didn't mention a little bit ago. We're going to begin a grocery and cooking ministry for Fairmount and our neighbors. We're calling it Fairmount Feeds. And we're going to help people who are struggling with food, with eating, meals. Doors were shut. Thankfully, it was only briefly for us to go down and do our feeding through MoHope and feed the homeless down in the city of Richmond. The doors were, remember I told you that Sunday, well, the doors are shut. We can't go for a while. Well, then they reopened. Praise God. Doors have been shut for the time being to Diego and Claudia Silva to return from Brazil to begin their ministry at VCU with Josh. God is in it all. He's in it all. Paul writes, he says in Romans, he says, but now that there's no place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. God opening new doors for his people. We have no idea if Paul ever reached Spain. There are some scholars say, oh, yes, he most definitely did. Other scholars say, no, he did not. We don't know. What we do know is that Paul was constantly aspiring to go where the Lord wanted him to go. And when he could, he did. Today, I want to talk to you about how we can personalize impacting the world. How do we personally impact the world? It's one thing to talk about how the church does so, and we should talk about the church doing that. But then, as I've said, every priority also has to be individualized. So how do we personally impact the world? I'm going to suggest to you quickly today three ways in which we do that. And the number one way is to pray. Pray for the world. Pray for the lost. Pray for those folks who are taking the love and the message of Christ where it needs to go. Sometimes we call them missionaries, mission partners, church planters. I don't care what we call them. But there are folks who are taking the message of Christ out into this world. We need to be praying for them. Pray about your role in taking the message of Christ wherever it needs to go. But you need to be praying. See, I think that's what Paul demonstrates for us best. You know, I think that's where he becomes sensitive as to where to go and where not to go. He becomes sensitive to that in prayer. So we need to be praying. We will never impact our world if we aren't praying for our world. Second, we need to serve. We personally impact the world when we are serving the world. A couple of weeks ago, we said when we were talking about being like Jesus, that you're never too young, you're never too old to serve. We even talked about some of our homebound folks who have found ways to serve, even though they can't even leave their homes. Serve where you are. Serve every day. Serve in your neighborhood. Serve at church. Serve at your school. Serve at the grocery store. Serve at the restaurants you frequent. Serve at the place where you work. See, even as Paul was aspiring to go to new places, he served where he was. And sometimes where he was in jail. Yet he served. Don't wait for the church to have a special service project. Don't wait for the church to have a special service day. Don't wait to be asked. Serve now. And then finally, go. Pray. Serve and go. That could mean going to Spain. Okay, we understand that. It could mean going on a short-term mission trip, and we put those together from time to time when nations allow us to do so. It could mean committing to cross-cultural mission work for a longer time. It could mean packing up and moving to another country to spread the word of Christ. I don't know what it means for you. I know going also means going to that friend in the break room and asking how their sick spouse is. I know going means to that lonely neighbor's house and inviting them over for supper. I know going means going over to the local food pantry and volunteering your time. There are infinite possibilities to go. I'm confident that when we go, we can be guaranteed of the presence of God in our going. Isaiah writes this so beautifully in his prophecy. Originally, this was written for God's people long ago, but it is still absolutely 100% applicable to us today. I want you to listen to this passage. I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to be inspired. I love this passage, Isaiah 30. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. And then memorize this verse, friends. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Pray, serve, go, and the Lord will be with you every step. This is the way. Walk in it. I think I told you last Sunday that last week, the week before that, I was down in East Tennessee at Milligan University's board meetings. And at the general session that starts the whole thing, they had all the trustees and all the board of advisors and all the staff together. And they Dr. Stacy Edwards got up and gave the devotion. It was really good. You know, when we walked in, he gave everybody an envelope, a little envelope. And we're like, oh, what's cool? What's in the little envelope? And then when he told us to, we all opened up our envelope. And inside was you can't see it, but there are a bunch of kernels of corn were in the envelope. And so we all had those, and we were all holding those in our hands as he was talking. And he started talking. You know what a kernel of corn is? You know another word for that? You know what it is? It's seed. It's a seed. That's all it is. It's a seed. And so if you plant that, considering it's a healthy kernel and you have a good soil and sunlight and nutrients and water and all that stuff, that seed will grow one corn, what? Stalk. I'll go with stalk. Plant. Either one. That's fine. Either one you want to go with. And so that one seed grows one plant, one stalk. And then, how many ears of corn will be on that stalk? Now, it depends again on the health of everything. At its absolute healthiest, and that's what we're going to aim for, right? At its absolute healthiest, it's going to bear four ears of corn. Sometimes just one, two, three. We're going to say four because that's just, we're going to go for big numbers, all right? And so you got four ears of corn on this one seed. You got four ears of corn up on there now. How many kernels are on those ears of corn? Again, Rick, it depends on how big the corn is. I understand that. Of course, we're going to go for healthy corn. And so a good healthy corn, ear of corn, is going to have, anybody got a guess? 100? Good guess. Really off. Really wrong. Really bad. Anybody else? Now that I'm going to shame you when you're wrong. 600 kernels of corn. Yeah, so when you eat a corn on the cob, you have 600 seeds in your belly. Just want you to know that. All right, so now let's do our math. 600 kernels of corn, one stalk, four ears, 600 kernels, that's 2,400. 2,400 kernels of corn on that one, from that one seed. Pretty impressive, right? What happens when you plant that 2,400? I looked up the number. 5,760,000. Your one seed created 2,400 seeds, which now have created 5,760,000 seeds. You know what the next generation is? Anybody got your math? Anybody got your calculators out for the next one? 33 trillion. 33 trillion from one seed. Dr. Edwards said, I brought this because I couldn't memorize it all. It's staggering to think about the potential impact or the ripple effect of a single seed that finds the conditions to germinate and mature. While we can count seeds, we can do that. We can count people. We can count numbers. We can count seeds. It's impossible to measure the impact of each seed. It is impossible to measure the impact of each seed. Friends, we are told to pray, serve, and go. We're told to plant corn. And then we're going to let God reap the harvest. We're just told to be faithful. As a church, we have the privilege to be planters. We're corn farmers. And when you leave this place today, you plant corn wherever you go. And you're not responsible for the crop. You're just responsible to plant it. Let's pray. God, it is so good to be in this place today, and so many good things have happened, Lord. Three men baptized at the earlier service, another young man baptized in this service, Lord. It's been a great day. Seeds planted that are coming to fruition, Lord. Thank you for using this church to plant countless seeds over our history. But Lord, I can't even imagine what you're going to do next. So use us to be corn farmers when we leave this place today, and let you reap an impact of more and more and more people coming to Jesus Christ. Thank you for this blessed time we've had together today to worship and to hear your voice. In Jesus' name. I'm going to be sitting right over here. I'm going to be standing right over here. If you have a decision to make for Christ today, I'd love to talk with you about that. If you've seen people baptized today, if you need to be baptized yourself, I'll talk with you about that, about your confession of faith in Christ, about your next steps with Jesus. I'd be happy to talk with you about them. Just come find me now after the service, on Wednesday. I don't care when, but you come talk to me about your next steps with Jesus Christ.